W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Looking at the threat of the People's Republic of China's PLA Navy and Air Force to attack Taiwan and really the whole of East Asia. By 2027 is the date we're given by dignitaries at the U.S. Navy. I'll go with that. And we welcome Brandon Weikert, who's going to help us understand what is to be done. What are we anticipating? And especially, very technical language, A2AD. A2AD. Brandon, a very good evening to you. What is A2AD and why are we worried about it in the Pacific? Good evening.
Good evening, John, and hello, Gordon. Thanks again, as always, for having me. A2AD stands for Anti-Access Area Denial, and that basically is the acronym the Navy has come up with, the Pentagon has come up with, to define the Chinese missile and hypersonic weapons threat. Basically, for the better part of a decade, part of China's modernization program for their military has been to line up as many of their missiles and hypersonic kill vehicles as possible throughout the man-made islands in the South China Sea, along their coastline with Taiwan. And they've increased the ranges on these systems to basically prevent the U.S. Navy from deploying the bulk of its aircraft carrier and surface warfare fleet close to areas in the South China Sea or the Taiwan Strait that China believes is theirs. In time of a war, these A2AD systems would form the equivalent of a protective bubble around Chinese forces that would be engaged in war, and they would basically keep U.S. carriers over the horizon. At the same time, they could also blast apart the known air bases in the region, like on Guam, where American Air Force jets would be operating out of, so they can blow up those airfields and keep the Air Force over the horizon as well, giving their forces time to do whatever they're going to do against Taiwan or against another neighbor.
So it's about the Chinese capability we're thinking. Is that correct?
Correct. It's yes.
Gordon, you have a question for Brandon.
Brandon, you mentioned that China plans to keep American carriers away from the theater of action. There's only so much money that the Pentagon has. So right. Should they be concentrating on building carriers?
Right.
Or should they be concentrating on submarines?
Right. Well, in my personal opinion, as somebody accused of working on behalf of the so-called submarine mafia, I say submarines all the way. Submarines will be a decisive factor in any potential war with China over Taiwan. They can get in close. They can operate undersea. It's harder to track and destroy those systems, then they can surface. And in the case of some of those guided missile submarines we've got, we can deploy massive amounts of cruise missiles at enemy targets and then disappear again under the sea. China, of course, has worked up ways to detect our nuclear subs, but it's still it's much more difficult to take those out than it is the big carriers with their big radar signatures and whatnot. So that's why I say submarines and underwater unmanned vehicles, UUVs, that's the wave of the future. Drone swarms under the sea as coupled with American submarines.
Brandon, this is home court advantage to China. So I puzzle if the U.S. Navy can carry the burden. We have Japan. We have South Korea. We have the Philippines. We have Australia. Those are all unsinkable aircraft carriers. Aren't those more important here than they've ever been before?
The Japanese are going to be a key factor in any potential conflict with China. In fact, people overlook Japan's military because it's not described as a military. It's a self-defense force. But Japan's Navy, their self-defense maritime force with that helicopter carriers that they've got, they're building more. They can deploy the F-35B from there. So this is a very significant force multiplier for them. The problem for Japan, though, is it's a tiny country taking on a very large force in very tight geographical areas. So China could easily use those A2AD networks to stymie and stunt Japanese power projection as much as it can U.S. power projection. South Korea, I don't think they're going to get too involved in any potential conflict between China and the United States. And the Philippines are trying their best to hold their own against China, but it's not a fair fight. And ultimately, this is why these other countries look to the United States. And the United States, even if it has a president that's willing to get involved, they're going to keep those carriers back because nobody wants to lose a new, brand new $13 billion Ford-class carrier to some Chinese missiles.
You didn't mention Australia.
Yes, of course. Australia is a key factor as well, but they also are facing limits. You know, they've got the new AUKUS, the Australia, United Kingdom, United States alliance. That's a submarine building alliance. But they're not really quite yet up to snuff in terms of being able to produce the number of submarines that would be needed. Remember, China has a significant advantage in mass production capabilities. And so Australia is absolutely an important factor. But they're also sort of far away as well. And the Chinese A2AD networks could also keep those Australian forces back. And the Indians are going to probably play both sides against the middle in any fight over Taiwan. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't rely necessarily on them in this case quite yet.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Brandon, how do we take out China's A2AD defenses?
So we need to develop a much better long-range attack capability. The Army, with their Dark Eagle project, is really hot and heavy in trying to build out more long-range ballistic missiles as well as long-range hypersonic weapons. But it's, again, our productive capabilities is the real problem. Our manufacturing, our defense industrial base is really struggling. But that's one thing they want to do, is to be able to attack these known A2AD spots from over the horizon. The Air Force is equipping the B-2 Spirit and eventually the B-21 Raider stealth bombers with their new hypersonic cruise missiles. Again, they need to be built out more, though, because we don't have enough of them, the hypersonic cruise missiles. The Navy wants to start installing hypersonic cruise missiles to be fired from their guided missile submarines. The Russians, unfortunately, with their Yasin class, are much farther ahead of us in this way. And then also the Marine Corps is developing capabilities. And then all of the branches of the military are investing heavily in unmanned aerial vehicles and unmanned underwater vehicles. All of these systems used together could first be deployed to overwhelm the A2AD networks, punch holes in them, and that would conceivably allow for the carriers to then get in close enough. But it's going to be a very nasty fight, and the Chinese are not just going to take it lying down.
Significant voices in the U.S. Navy have used the date 2027 for the Chinese attack. That's tomorrow, Brandon. That means we're not going to get anything that we don't already have.
Yeah.
Do we have enough of those Ohio-class cruise missile boats? Are there enough of them, and are they ready to go?
There are not enough of them, no. If we use them in combination with the assets of our allies in the region, that will help. But no, we don't have enough of anything right now. Which is why my great hope is the new administration can engage in some really creative diplomacy while at the same time reinvigorating our defense industrial base. Because if we go to war between now and 2027, the advantages are very much in China's favor, unfortunately. And especially if we're still using the carrier as the primary naval projection platform, it's not going to end well. And the last thing we want is the image of an American carrier being destroyed or sunk by cheap Chinese missiles.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Brandon, how hard is it for China to sink an American carrier? Can they do it?
Well, it's never been done, so there's always that working against them. But I do believe they now have the capability with their Dongfeng 21B. They call it the carrier killer. They've got other systems as well arrayed. That can basically track in real time carriers that are moving in the region, and then attack at the very least render those flight decks useless. And obviously, if a carrier loses its flight deck, it's basically dead in the water anyway. It's a wasting asset, and that's the point. China's admiral in 2019, the head of their navy, he talked about the need to be able to sink at least two U.S. carriers at once, and the Chinese military has responded by conditioning their A2AD networks to do just that. And so I do believe that the Chinese, at least on paper, have the capacity to knock out one or more of our carriers unless we can figure out a way to stymie and break that A2AD advantage.
We have about 30 seconds, Brandon. Is Guam gone in this conflict? Guam is useless.
Guam is tipped upside down, to use Hank Johnson's terms. Yes, it's obliterated.
And so, therefore, there's no backup coming if a carrier goes down. There's nothing out there.
Unless the Japanese or the South Koreans or the Australians can intervene.
Brandon Weicker, writing a national interest about A2AD. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.